many people have ever given yourself a pep talk? Anybody ever looked at yourself in the mirror and said, okay, you got to do this? A lot of times when we're working out, we do that. We look at ourselves and we say, I know that I should do this. I don't want to do this. And so we look at ourselves in the mirror and say, this is something you need to do. And the reason that you give yourself a pep talk is because you know that even though you don't feel it in the moment, a little bit later, you're going to feel better because you did. The psalm that we're looking at today, somewhere in the Psalms, and today we're in Psalm 103, and David is the author of this psalm, and David gives himself a pep talk. David, we don't know what he's going through, but he kind of looks himself in the mirror and says, hey, you need to do some things, because here's what a pep talk does. A pep talk reminds us of what we know is true, even when it doesn't feel like it's true. There is, you know, I'm gonna feel better if I work out. I know I'm gonna feel better if I'll get up and get my 10,000 steps in. I just don't feel like it. And so we give ourselves a pep talk. This is what David is doing today. He's giving himself a pep talk and he's saying, hey, he's talking to his soul and he's saying, soul, you might not feel like worshiping, but you need to do it anyway. That what you feel ought not be the thing that controls your life. And so if you want to follow along with us this morning, we're going to be in Psalm 103. You can also go to todayssermon.com and it'll have our scriptures. But we're going to burn through this pretty fast because I have been reminded on Community Sunday to let everybody out early. Whether that happens today or not, let's all find out together, shall we? It's going to be an exciting P.S. for those of you that do have young kids. If your young kid starts to get really busy or loud or something, if you just need a little mental health break, we do have a little quiet room back there that's got some toys. It's also got a gliding chair. Some of the dads might just need that this morning. Maybe not even with the kid. You might just need a little glider. It's been a tough week. I get it. Make yourself available to that. Also, the lobby, it does have the service on the TV in the lobby. If your kid gets just needs to get some energy out, it's no problem at all. Psalm 103, verse 1 and 2. Here's David's pep talk. Hey, my soul, bless the Lord and all that's within me. In other words, like every part of me, bless his holy name. We could use the word worship. My soul, bless the Lord. Why am I going to do that? And do not forget all of his benefits. David is reminding himself and he's reminding us that God is worthy of our worship, whether we feel like it or not. In Psalm 34, you could look at it later if you want to. He says, I'm going to bless the Lord. I'm going to worship the Lord at all times. His praise is going to continually be on my lips. It just means I will... In other words, I'm going to choose to. Did you know that you can choose to worship and you can choose not to? That you don't have to wait for your feelings to catch up with what you know is right. You can say, in spite of what I feel, in spite of my difficult day, in spite of my stressful week, I'm going to do what I know that I should do, and my feelings will catch up later. And this is just a good reminder for us that feelings aren't silly, but feelings aren't sovereign. In other words, here's what I mean, that you should not just pretend like you didn't have a bad day, not asking you to pretend like things are going great that aren't going great, not asking you to push all your feelings down and cover them and just put a smile on your face. Feelings are not silly. You do feel sad and disappointed and frustrated and all of those different challenging emotions. The challenge that we find ourselves in is we allow our feelings to be sovereign over us. We allow our feelings to say, I'm going to do this or I'm not going to do this. And what David is reminding himself and he's reminding us, I might feel one day one thing, but I'm going to choose to do the right thing in spite of that. I'm not going to let my feelings be sovereign. I'm not going to let a bad day stop me from doing what I know God is worthy of. In fact, I would encourage us this way. If you wake up some Sunday morning and you just think to yourself, man, church is the last place I want to be, and singing is the last thing that I want to do, well, I would love for you to just try this. You just decide, you know what? I'm going to get to church early. Now, I feel like sleeping in and just staying in the covers and getting a Netflix episode in, but I'm going to not let my feelings be sovereign. I'm going to get there early. I don't feel like singing. Guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to sing louder than ever. I'm just going to make sure that everybody knows I'm not dictated by the thing that I feel. I'm dictated that God is worthy, that God is able, that God is at all times, in all ways, in all seasons of my life, he is worthy of my worship. And David, again, verse number two, he says, well, why should my soul bless the Lord even on the days that I don't feel like it? I'm not gonna forget his benefits. And so for just a few minutes this morning, can I just run through Psalm 103? And we can give reasons why we should worship God in spite of what you feel today. I'm so glad that you're here, but there's gonna be some weeks coming up that you don't feel like being here. There's gonna be some times coming up that you don't feel like singing, that you don't feel like lifting up your voice and saying, I will sing of the goodness of God. I want you to come back to this because you just have to sometimes give yourself a pep talk and say, my soul, hey, you're not in charge here. You're gonna bless the Lord because my feelings aren't silly, but they're also not sovereign. The reason that we're gonna choose to bless the Lord, David starts it off for sure, is I look at what God's given. When I see all the things, and kids, get ready, here's the part where you write on your crown. You might need a friend or a neighbor to help you. But the reason that I tell my soul to worship is because I'm remembering what he has given. Verses number 3, 4, and 5 says, he does. He forgives all your iniquity. He heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from the pit. Here's our word. He crowns you with faithful love and compassion. He satisfies you with good things. Your youth is renewed like the eagle. And so kids, if you've got your crown, here's the first thing that I want you to write. You probably have to write it vertical. I'm forgiven. Why should you bless God at all times? Why should you let your feelings take a back seat to what you know is true? The first thing is that, well, I'm forgiven. David did the worst things that you can imagine. David committed adultery, and then to cover up his adultery, he had the lady's wife murdered, and yet David could say, in spite of all of the things that he had done wrong, he could say with confidence, my soul bless the Lord, because not what I feel, but I'm forgiven. There's no greater benefit. That there's nothing that I can do that is out further than God's forgiveness can reach. That I sit where I'm at today. If I have invited God into my life, I choose to worship. I will sing of the goodness of God. Why? Well, because I'm forgiven. God has done something extraordinary on my behalf. Not only am I forgiven, but David said, here's your second thing, kids, to write down on your little crown. I can't wait to see you wearing them. I'm healed. Not only I'm forgiven, but man, I'm healed. Not just my physical body, but my emotional mind. And every my past can be healed, and the relationships in my life can be healed. And let's just be honest. Let's pause for a second. There is some tension there because we've experienced where it doesn't feel like God has healed. We've prayed for somebody to be healed and they weren't healed. We prayed for ourselves to be healed and we're still struggling with that. And that we do live in that tension of the yes and the not yet. But Pastor John Piper, a wonderful, wonderful pastor, been a tremendous theologian and all these wonderful things that he shares, he reminds us of this about the healed. What do we do with that tension of, yes, I believe that I am healed, and yet I haven't fully experienced it yet? John Piper reminds us of this, that all promises will be fulfilled. That the promise that I am healed, that eventually someday, whether it's today, whether it's next week, or whether it's eternity, that God is not lying to us, that will be fulfilled. He goes on and he says that some healing will come now, and I would love to pray for you about that. I'd love to pray that today that you would experience God's healing, miraculous touch in your life, in your mind, in your emotions, in your relationships. Some healings come now, but all healings, they're gonna come soon. And soon might be in 60 years when you cross over into heaven, but in the scheme of eternity, that's coming up pretty soon. So all healings will come, and some will come now and some will come soon. And then thirdly, when we've had that tension of I want to believe that I'm healed, but I'm not experiencing that, even our diseases and our calamities are not defeats. So that even if you succumb to a sickness and it ends in death, that's not defeat. I prayed for my father for years to be healed from his disease, and he was in heaven. And the first thing I think that my dad thought when he crossed from this life into heaven was not, oh, it got the best of me. I think the first thing that he thought was, I won. I defeated this thing. And so if you're living in that tension of, yes, I believe that I'm forgiven, but I'm having a difficult time with I'm healed because it doesn't feel like it. Just remember that all promises are going to be fulfilled, some today, some in the future. But even in where it feels like I'm struggling through the lack of healing, it's not for your defeat. It's not for calamity. The Apostle Paul said that we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And so why do I worship? Well, forget not his benefits, David said. Well, I'm forgiven, I'm healed. Kids, here's the third thing to write down. I'm redeemed. Forgiven, I'm healed, and I'm redeemed. And we don't use that word very often, but how many people, just quick show of hands, how many people have ever played games at Chuck E. Cheese? Any people love a Chuck E. Cheese or a little arcade game? You know, where you do the skeet ball and it pumps out a bunch of tickets, right? Well, kids, if you've ever gotten a bunch of tickets out of the thing, here's what you did. You saved all of the tickets to the degree that you could handle it, and then you went and redeemed those tickets for a prize. And the prize usually broke in about 30 minutes, and you know, that happened. But some of you got really carried away, and you were just awesome at skeet ball, and the tickets just kept coming, and you got like a stuffed animal or a PlayStation or whatever it is. David is reminding us that what God has done on my behalf was something that I could have never heard. He redeemed my life from the pit. In other words, that try as I might to live a good life, to try to get, because quote unquote, as many tickets as I can to get the prize of eternity with God, I couldn't get there. I'm not good enough. My behavior isn't good enough. The way that I think, the way that I talk. And so what God did on my behalf, if he said, you don't need the tickets, I'm just gonna give you the prize. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to work for it. You can just be redeemed. He redeems my life out of the pit because he loves us. He is for us. He's forgiven us. He's healed us. He's redeemed us. And not only this, kids, write this down. I'm loved. When you go back to school here in a couple weeks, I want you to remember that no matter what somebody says in the lunchroom or at recess or whatever happens in your school, that you have a Heavenly Father who loves you. And it's not because of you, it's because of him. That I'm not loved because of what I've done, I'm loved because of who God is. That God has poured out his love on me in because of his character, not because of my behavior. John, Jesus' best friend, said it this way: love consists of this, not that we loved God. I didn't start this thing, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the atoning sacrifice of our sin. In other words, here's what John is meaning: that there's nothing that you can do to make God love you more. Sorry to ruin the fun, but God doesn't love you more because you attended church today. I love you more because you attended church today. I do have a sticker chart that I'm placing on all of your names. I do love you more. God is better than that. God is better than me. God doesn't love you more because you came today. God doesn't love you less on your worst day. God loves you. You can't earn it. You don't deserve it. There's nothing you can do to make God love you less. There's nothing you can do to make God love you more. You sit here this morning. You're watching online this morning. You are loved. You are accepted. Does that mean that every part of your life, God wants to remain the same? No. God loves us enough to change us and to point out things, but you don't change in order for God to love you. You are loved, and because you're loved, I want to shape my life into the image more and more of God. Here's the other thing to write down. Two more, kids. Here's the first one. I'm satisfied. He says this, that man, he satisfies me with good things. In other words, you don't have to spend your life. You don't have to spend your life chasing after things. You don't have to spend your life chasing after the next high and the next, what's going to fulfill me? What's going to satisfy me? I don't have to be on a search for meaning. That I'm satisfied because I know that I am a child of God. My purpose and my meaning are found not in my career and not in my paycheck and not in my friends and not in my Facebook likes. I'm satisfied because I am known as a child of God. And then here's the last one, kids. If you're writing down on your crown, can't wait to see them on your head. I'm strengthened. I'm forgiven. I'm healed. I'm redeemed. I'm loved. I'm satisfied and I'm strengthened. It says this, that your youth is renewed like the eagle. You know what I think about when I think of youth? I think about strength. I think about energy. I think about power. I think about ability. And so what I think about when I think that my life is renewed like the eagles, or my youth is renewed like the eagles. It's not that I'm perpetually young. And it's not that my skin doesn't start to sag a little bit. That's not what he's saying. I think what he's saying is, man, I've got strength like a young person to get me through what I need to get through. I've got strength to be able to resist temptation. I've got strength to move through this stress, that because of what God has done for me, hey, my soul, bless the Lord. Why? Well, I'm forgiven, and I'm loved, and I'm satisfied, and I'm strengthened, and I'm redeemed. David's given himself a pep talk. Who cares what I'm feeling right now? Man, it's not silly, but it can't be sovereign. It can't be what dictates my life. Forget not all of his benefits. Here's how do I remember to worship? Well, I think about all that he's done. And then secondly, keep enrolling this morning. Let me see those crowns, kid. Go ahead and put them on you. I know, remember, you're crowned with all of those things. The reason I give myself a pep talk sometimes, I look at how faithful God's been. It's not just about what he's given me right here in this moment right now. When my feelings start to dictate my life, I can look in my rearview mirror of my life, and I can remember there's been countless time after time after time that God's shown up, that God's been faithful, that God didn't lose me, that God didn't get rid of me. I can see all the different instances of my life where he answered prayers, that he came through when nobody else did. He's been faithful. He says this in verse number 6-8. The Lord executes acts of righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. And then David looks back at Moses. You remember Moses and the Ten Commandments? He's reminded, hey, even in Moses' time, even though all those years ago, he revealed his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. And then David in verse number 8 is going to actually quote Moses. It's a direct quote from Exodus. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in faithful love. And so why can you worship? Well, because if he's been faithful in the past, is there any reason that he's not going to be faithful in the future? Can you? And this is, kid, this is why we've given you your little sheet for you to remember things that you're grateful for. And sometimes we want to think of God coming through for us as this huge, like, angels coming and there's riding on the clouds. That happens sometimes. But how about when you move to the new neighborhood and you met that person and all of a sudden that person has become like your best friend? What an answer to prayer. What about when you went to college and your dorm room had a group of people and you met that person who just was able to be the right type of person? What an answer to prayer. What about when you went to work and you found that coworker and you guys were able to encourage each other? What an answer to prayer. What about when you were scrolling through Facebook and you saw somebody post just the right thing at just the right time, and there was something that, man, I think God spoke to me through that. He's been faithful. And so remembering God's faithfulness in the past, it gives me the faith for the future, because I know that God has come through for me when I was in high school and when I was in college and on this moment and in this day. When I write those down and when I bring those to mind, it gives me faith for this moment. Yeah, I'm having a bad day, and yeah, I don't know how it's all going to work, and I don't see how the end is going to come through, but God's been faithful before. He was faithful all the way back in Moses' time. And if he was faithful with Moses, and if he was faithful with David, if he was faithful with the Apostle Paul, if he's faithful with me and my past, why wouldn't he be faithful now? Why do I worship? And it was worship, P.S. Worship is more than just about singing. Singing is a beautiful part of worship, but worship is the way that we live. And why do we give ourselves the pep talk? My soul, bless the Lord. Well, I look at what God's given. I look at how faithful God's been, and then I look at what God has accomplished. What has God done on my behalf? It kind of really goes hand in hand with that I'm loved, and I'm forgiven, and I'm strengthened, and I'm redeemed. But verse number 12 says it this way: as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Nobody else could do that. It's not possible for you to take care of your own sin. It's not possible for you to clean up yourself. That God, in his mercy, he solved the problem of my sin once and for all. He took the weight of sin upon himself. I have flown, I don't know if you realize how far east of the west is, but I've flown from the west, Denver, Colorado, USA, to the east, Beijing, China. Let me tell you, that's a long flight. And this was before the time of iPads and phones. This was, you just sat. and just enjoyed 14 hours of life in a metal tube, and you hoped, will the person next to me smell bad? Sometimes they will, sometimes they won't. Listen, that's a long, long ways, and it doesn't compare. Imagine if that's from Denver or wherever I flew from. Did I fly from Denver, Kansas City? Nobody knows. It's all the same, guys, when you're going to Beijing. But when you compare that from the west end of eternity to the east end of eternity, that's how far God's removed. And I can't do that on my own. That I just throw myself at God. Look at what he's accomplished. And when I realize that, wow, God, I will sing of the goodness of God. I've had a bad day, but I look at what he's accomplished. Man, I'm stressed out, but I look at how faithful he's been. My work is doing this, and I'm so anxious, and what about the kids? And the kids are really home at summer, and why is school starting a week later than everybody else? Nobody knows, but I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God. And here's the fourth thing. Why do we worship? Why do we say my feelings aren't gonna be sovereign? I look at how small I am. I take a little bit of time and I realize, oh, I'm not as big as I thought I was. I'm maybe not as important as I thought I was. Verses 14 through 16, skip down there with me. For he knows what we're made of, remembering that we're dust, here for a minute and gone. For as man, his days are like grass. He blooms like a flower in the field, and when the wind passes over it, it vanishes, and its place is no longer known. That reminding myself of my smallness, of my weakness, it pushes me to, that God, even in spite of me, had chosen to love me and has chosen to redeem me. That when I compare myself and what I have going on to the greatness and the majesty of God, I just don't have any other choice. Of course, I'm going to worship God. An elevated view of self, though, an elevated view of self will result in a deluded view of God and a deluded worship of God. That when I think it's all about me, when I think that this world revolves around me and my life and how far can I get, then I don't feel like I need to worship God that much because, I would never say this out loud, but in my mind, God and I were kind of on the same plane. I'm pretty important. I've got a lot of things going on. And sure, God's important and God's got a lot of things going on, but we're kind of equals. No. When I have an elevated view of self, my worship is always gonna be diluted. But when I have a proper view of me, and it's not that I'm self-loathing. It doesn't have anything to do with I hate myself and I'm just beaten. That's not God either. But I just recognize that I'm here and I'm gone for just a little bit. And God is eternal and infinite. Man, I worship God because he took notice of me. As small and as insignificant as I am, he was generous and he was kind to me. And when I put all those together, when I look at what God's given and when I look at how faithful God's been, when I look at what he's accomplished and I see how small I am, here's I don't have any other option. When I go through those things, I see what he's doing. Of course, I'm gonna worship. What else could I possibly do? When I see what he's given me, when I see how faithful he's been to me, when I see what he's accomplished for me, and when I see who I am in light of who he is, of course I'm gonna worship. Of course I'm gonna recognize my feelings. Maybe I need to go get some counseling. Maybe I need to get some help, but I'm not gonna let my feelings tell me, don't worship God. I'm not gonna let my bad day keep me from coming to a place like this and lifting up my voice and opening up scripture. I see what he's due. Verses number 19 and 22, we're skipping down just a little bit. The Lord has established his throne in heaven. Listen to this word. His kingdom rules over all. Would you time out for just a second? Is God ruling over every part of your kingdom? I know that he's ruled over 10:15 to 11:15 on Sunday, August the 4th. He's ruled over that part. But is he ruling over every part of your kingdom? Is he ruling over your money? Is he ruling over your relationships? Is he ruling over all the different ways that you interact with people that you don't like and that you disagree with? Is he ruling over the type of post that you put on Facebook? The Lord has established his throne in heaven. and his kingdom. Whether I allow him to or not, that's up to me. But he is worthy because of what he's accomplished, because of what he's done, because of how small I am, and because of all the things that he's been faithful for me in the past, and he deserves to rule over every part of me. And so David finishes it again with another pep talk. Bless the Lord. All his angels of great strength, all who do his word, obedient to command, to his command. Bless the Lord, all his armies, his servants who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works in all of the places where he rules. My soul, bless the Lord. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12, he says this, in light of God's mercy, I want you to present yourself as a living sacrifice because it's your reasonable act of worship. In other words, the Apostle Paul says, when I look at what he's done, when I look at how faithful he's been, when I look at what he's accomplished, when I look at how small I am, it's reasonable. Of course, I have no other choice but to worship. And when I remember who God is, man, it brings me to a memory of the memory of who God is, rather. It brings me to an awareness. I should worship. Of course I should. Imagine it this way, and then we're gonna be done for the day. That when you work at the end of the week, you're gonna clock in, most of you, to your job tomorrow. And at the end of the week or at the end of the month or into 2 weeks, whatever it looks like for you, do you know what you feel like you're due? You feel like you're due a paycheck. You feel like I did some things for you, and so because of what I've done, I'm due a paycheck. You would be flabbergasted if you spent 2 weeks working 9 to 5 or whatever it is your schedule is, and the boss says, you know what, I don't think we will pay you this time. You would say, huh, we're gonna have a misunderstanding. Why? Why? Because you're due something. You're owed something. You expected something. I don't know if you've ever heard it this way or not, but God expects to be worshiped. He's due it. He expects it. And when we live our life saying, God, I don't think I will. I think I'm gonna be centered on me. I think I'm gonna be focused on me. God is at the end of our, like we would be at the end of our 2 weeks. Wait a minute, you're not giving me what I'm due? What's the deal? When I withhold worship from God, I just wonder if God, wait a minute, what? Look at what I've done. Look how faithful I've been. Look at what I've accomplished. Look at how small you are. I expect to be worshiped. The reflection of my praise towards God is a direct reflection on my memory of the goodness of God. And so you have to just remind yourself, sometimes you gotta give yourself a pep talk. My soul, bless the Lord. My soul, this is what we are doing, like it or not. And my feelings can catch up later. But when I know what God has done and how faithful he's been and wow, all the things that he's accomplished and that he's chosen me, I'm gonna worship. And so we're gonna end the service a little bit different than we normally do. I just thought we ought to just go ahead and we ought to put it into practice. So we're gonna sing one more song if the worship team wants to come. I'm gonna invite you here in a second, not just right now, but I'm gonna invite you to stand and sing. You might not know this song, but you might, and I love the words of this song, and the bridge of the song is perfect. The bridge of the song says this, come on my soul, come on soul, like he's giving himself a pep talk, lift up your voice. You've got a lion inside of you. Get up and praise the Lord. You know what that means for you? I don't know if you're struggling or stressed or anxious or whatever's going on in your life, but can I just invite you for just, about four minutes. Can you say, my soul, bless the Lord. Why? God expects it.